Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Order and fire. Order and fight, fried chicken, order and fire, fried chicken, order and fire, a fish. What's up, everybody? This is Chef Marcus Samuelson, and together with my dear partner in crime, Jason Diakite, and we want to take this moment straight from the kitchen and say happy Thanksgiving. For this holiday season, love one another. It's going to be a different holiday season. You might not be with your loved one, but at least communicate, whether that's on Instagram or social media or Facebook or Zoom. Cook, eat, and love one another. And happy holidays.
This moment. This moment.
Marcus, how you feeling?
How you feeling? I'm good, Jason. I'm actually really hyped because there's so many things happening. It never lets up, right? But I also start to think about my Thanksgiving meal and what's coming and what's about to happen.
Gearing up.
And I was thinking about what is this holiday going to look like? You know, obviously people are not going to travel as much. There will be a lot of Zoom cooking. There will be a lot of FaceTime cooking. And I do know as we are connected, the holiday will happen. It will be the first probably social distance holiday we've ever had. But there might be something coming out of this holiday that we're going to keep. And we might keep forever. So this is a very unique. We're experiencing this for the first time.
Are you able to affirm that, like create what that takeaway is going to be for you or what that new twist or that new add-on to this very traditional holiday of Thanksgiving is going to be?
Well, it's something interesting, right? Because I had to take inventory about my own life, right? You know, so first of all, what am I keeping? And I am keeping our charity work every time. Every year around Thanksgiving, we do turkey giveaway out in the restaurant. We do sides giveaway. So we are setting up this holiday very similar, starting that work on which local charities are we going to work with and so on, right? So that's something that we, because of World Central Kitchen, what we've been doing, that part is pretty easy. You know, we know exactly how to serve the community in a social distance way. And I'm very, very happy and proud that we can do that. Maybe not as big as we normally do it.
But it can be done, that. Yeah.
And it's going to happen. So you know, partnering up with Lexi here in Harlem, she does all the cookies and we do the sides and stuff like that. The other part is, you know, I thought about this, you know, I guest edited Bon Appetit's holiday issue here in America, right? So we started with Thanksgiving and the holidays in August and September, right? And we have to think about how this year is so unique in the sense of how do we maintain our holidays tradition. And so I did a Thanksgiving party, my wife and I here in Harlem. So we shot it for the issues. So we invited Dapper Dan and we invited Bevy Smith and Thelma Golden and so on. But they had to come in on very specific hours. They could only be there for 30 minutes. So people had to come in, you know, a quick test, leave, take the picture, eat the food, leave. Okay. And we did a Zoom party. So I was like, oh my God.
How do you keep the food warm throughout? I mean, like, nightmare for a chef, man.
Right. Yeah? Right. But we did end up on a big call And that was gratifying because my friends that could not even come to New York, you know, it was a couple of people from New Orleans and from California. So we had a pre-Thanksgiving for the issue that I really liked. And I was just thinking about, that's going to happen across the nation. But what about you, Jason? Like, growing up in Sweden in the 80s, how did your family keep this tradition alive with, you know, in the middle of, this is a Thursday in probably one of the worst weather months in Swedish calendar. How did you guys keep it going?
My parents being migrants from the United States, obviously the United States, as opposed to Sweden, Sweden has a lot of holidays because Sweden celebrates all the Christian, all the holidays in the Christian calendar. So like, and as a kid, that meant you were off school for Pentecost and for Ascension and for a whole bunch of holidays. I really didn't give a damn about what their meaning was, but I was off school. Now
you got off of school.
Yeah, exactly. In Sweden, Thanksgiving never existed as a holiday, and it still doesn't. Having said that, Swedes are so infatuated with American culture in the United States and grew up on it and grew up emulating, imitating, being inspired by. So I think a lot of Swedes today probably buy a turkey and do a Thanksgiving Day dinner, even though they have no kind of roots in the United States. That probably happens. But for my parents, Thanksgiving was super duper important.
Well, what's on the table?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, it's I think it's one of the few holidays that's uniquely American, right? And in that, and we're going to get to that, I mean, Thanksgiving is really, it's really double, you know, because it is my favorite holiday of all, because as opposed to all,
mine too,
as opposed to all those Christian holidays I didn't get, you know, that I couldn't really relate to why we're celebrating it, Thanksgiving had this wonderful food, you know, and it was the coming together, and it was the bird, and it was the mashed potatoes, and, you know, the creamed corn. So my parents always loved Thanksgiving because I think it was this sense of pride and this is our culture. This is American culture. And if there's one thing we're going to cling to now when we're so far from our families, and Thanksgiving was never a time of year where they could take off work. So we could never go to the States. Mm. I don't remember celebrating as a kid a single Thanksgiving in the States because my parents were always working. And it's a Thursday and it's working Thursday. But we do like this. They would collect all the Americans, or not all the Americans, but all their American friends
in
the Lund Malmo area, get together. They, you know, somebody was in charge of the bird. Somebody was in charge of the mashed potatoes. My mom always claimed, you know, she does a sweet potato souffle that I've never had anywhere else.
Nice.
And that's her point of pride.
Sweet potato.
Well, now so it is. Now that, it is. You know, but back then it wasn't.
Yeah, but
back then they had to
give her the better.
Back then,
let her talk.
Care packages would be sent from the United States with the canned sweet potatoes. Care packages with, you know, vanilla essence, you know, all the pumpkin pie spice, turkey spice, like. This stuff was planned way ahead of time. Today, you can get most of the ingredients.
Yes.
There's two weird things about me and Thanksgiving. Like, a favorite for most people, and most people that I celebrated Thanksgiving with, was the stuffing. Like, everybody always liked the stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is really proud of her cornbread stuffing. I don't really fuck with stuffing, you know. I think it's because when I was a kid, my dad actually told me that he put like gizzards and like the insides, he put it into the stuffing. I'm like, all right, so I'm not touching that stuff. I know that. And I've never really returned to it, you know.
You're missing out.
I know. That's what I'm always told, you know. And also I found out the same thing about the gravy. You know, that he put some of the gizzards or some of the insides and in, makes the gravy. I'm like, okay, I don't F with the gravy. And that's still with me today. Like, I do gravy.
What about your sister? What about your sister? What was her favorite thing coming up?
I don't really know. I think just basically the whole spread. But she definitely ate the gravy and the stuffing. But the sweet potato souffle, definitely is what goes first. And some years my mom was like, I'm really tired. I was really tired. I only made one, you know, one thing of sweet potato souffle, so, and then it finishes, right?
I have my list. I got questions. Mm-hmm. I got questions. So knowing that this was a gathering, you know, this is not just easy in middle of Malmö. You know, this took time to plan. Did you guys then, as community, did you guys do it on the Saturday?
Yeah.
Or did you actually keep it to
the
day?
No, we did it on a Saturday because nobody was off work, you know. And one, I remember one year, my dad collected 80 people. He literally invited
wow.
all the Americans.
Yeah.
I think it was even,
beautiful.
I think there were even like British people and like Australian people. Like anybody who could speak English was invited.
And understood sort of that tradition. Yeah. So I'll tell you two things, right? What I love, my whole growth of Thanksgiving has been coming to America in my early 20s. You know, those, you have like four roommates or whatever. And as a chef, like it's at Aquavit, we got off on Thanksgiving. So, you know, we might have like sushi, Indian takeout, and then one of us maybe did the bird, right? And it was like, and everybody had roommates. So it was like maybe 15. Maybe one or two Americans because their girlfriends or boyfriend were Americans, but it was kind of like an immigrant Thanksgiving. And you think that's unique. And then you go back to work the next day and you talk to your Mexican friends and you talk to all your other immigrant friends. Everybody pretty much did the same thing. So it was like people, the Mexicans having like their favorite, just regular festive dishes with a little bit of bird. So everybody kind of respected the new land, right? And that, But then as kind of, I feel like Thanksgiving has followed me as an adult, right? So now I happen to love Thanksgiving, right? Because it's not around a bunch of gifts. It's actually just around food. And we always started also with the giving. Like we started with our charities, with our turkey drive, right? So you start on Monday and Tuesday of that week and it really gets you in the mind. And then Wednesday I start cooking for my family and I bring some Swedish tradition. We do glögg, for example, like that, you know, spiced wine that we all love, for example. So I've been able kind of to mishmash what I love about sort of the Swedish holidays and Christmas season, bring them into, so you might see
tell me.
Herring and grovlax our table.
Yes. See, okay, but, if there's another thing I don't, so you obviously, all our listeners are going to be privy to this, so I stay away from certain things. Pickled herring is just a no-no. I will be honest with you, I tried it the first time in my life 2 years ago. And people, like Swedes don't understand, like what?
Yeah.
You never tried herring? Like what? What are you talking about? Get out of here. You know, I tried it the first time in my life 2 years ago, didn't like it. Too sweet, kind of mushy, you know. And everybody, of course, is like, oh, you just tasted the wrong one. I was like, no, I don't need to go there. It's not, you know, it's not something I need to eat. And you're bringing that
but
into
grown
the sanctity of Thanksgiving,
Marcus? Yeah. So it's a little bit of that. But now, obviously, we're basically an Ethiopian household.
So yesterday, my wife
was already, dude, Dora Wet is coming.
Yeah.
She's starting
Keat
already. Full. And by Monday, Tuesday, you know, I'm brining the bird on Tuesday, most likely dry. And she's cooking. So there will be turkey on our table. Mm. Will be a bunch of Ethiopian sides. And the only other thing that I know has, so through all the work and cooking I've done in Sweden through Kitchen and Table, we started a Thanksgiving tradition. Uh-huh. So last Thanksgiving, actually, I was with you.
We spent it together. It was beautiful.
We started a Thanksgiving tradition where, you know, a bunch of, you know, Americans and people who are of that sort of, not just America, but Australia, just like you say. So we have Thanksgiving throughout our restaurants, but I do think one thing that Sweden applied quicker than the food itself was Black Friday.
Yeah.
That's shopping day.
That's definitely a holiday.
So that,
yeah.
And I was like, what? Mm. When did Sweden, because when we were growing up, there wasn't really Black Friday in Sweden. Mm. So it's interesting how certain aspects of a culture is grabbed on.
Well, that speaks
to
the globalism of you know, corporate consumerism and you know, it's like... They can have the bird, whatever, if people want to do that. But we're definitely doing the big sale to drive some, you know, to drive some profits. But the big thing today, I just opened the paper before we went into our recording, was that Black Friday might have to be postponed. You know?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So in Sweden, yeah, in Scandinavia.
In Sweden. Sweden is getting closer. We're going to get into that. Sweden is we're hit hard right now. COVID is really hitting us.
But I want to know one more thing about the Diakite household circa 1988, 87. Who was DJing? Who was spinning? Because, what was the music?
Yeah, there was no, I don't remember music. I mean, it was definitely not a DJ. I think, there was really very seldom music. What always happened was that my mom and her American friends would sing they'd sing songs. Like they had some.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so they have some Turkey song that they always sing. And then they sing like favorite. I don't understand these ladies either, because they remember these songs from their childhood and like they still know the lyrics, which to me is incredible.
Amazing.
They would sing, they would always sing this song from the musical Oklahoma. It's a really embarrassing and terrible song. Yeah. So they would sing like songs from their upbringing, from old musicals and stuff like that. So there's always a big, after everybody's eaten, then they're singing, you know.
Pick up table 5, please. Pick up table 4.
We want to give thanks to you, our listener, straight from the kitchen this time.
So I just want to, on a real quick tip, give away, wherever you are, wherever you're listening, I want to give you a quick tip about a potential menu to honor a more inclusive Thanksgiving and think about all America. You can think about a collard green salad, actually, that you braise the collard greens in vinegar and then you let them chill, and then take some fresh apples and you slice them, and then maybe you get some frisée and you make a vinaigrette. You toss that, and that's your salad. It's a collard green apple salad with some frisée. And then, with some croutons with that, you can actually do Native American fry bread. You know, it's basically a very simple dough that you roll out and you fry, and those can be your croutons. And, as you make them, you can actually think about this was their land that we are now part of. And you don't have to go through the whole history, but I do think you cannot do this menu without having empathy for others, right? And I do think, especially a year like this, people like you and me, Jason, we happy that Joe Biden won, and it was the Native Americans, 97% in Arizona, that voted for Joe Biden. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Then when it comes to the main course, to the turkey, I do think that you want to brine the turkey on Tuesday.
So maybe how long do you let it sit in the brine? For 2 days?
I would say just
24 hours.
I would say just 24, overnight. Yeah. Boom.
And then just salt and water, right?
Salt, water, that's it. You give them a pinch of sugar in, but you don't really, not a lot. And then the key is pat it dry, take it up, and then you want to separate the skin and
you
the
put
meat.
Put the butter in there.
You want to put a butter
in
there.
A lot
and
of butter.
For me, we put butter, we put berberina butter, and fresh herbs. So I put sage, parsley, cilantro, beautiful fresh herb.
That's interesting.
I mix up sage, parsley, cilantro. I basically make with a little bit of olive oil. And then I fold that into the butter with berberine. And then that goes, I just
all over
covering
that
turkey. my whole bird, 2 hours, depending on the size of it, around 375 Fahrenheit. Then I want to take it. Then I start taking it out and start basting it. All that liquid that's going to come out of it, I just keep basting that on top. And then I just pour a blend between honey and soy. I glaze the whole thing with honey and soy for the last 25 minutes. And I increase the heat to 425. And now you get that beautiful, crisp, glazed, crispy skin. Then after 2 hours, it's key, depending on the size. The bird, then you take it out of the oven. And it has to rest for a good hour. Okay. Don't touch it. Don't touch it, let it sit uncovered? No.
Uncovered.
Okay. Because that's how you keep it moist, right? What most people do, they take it out and they carve it right away. Don't do that. Then I would flip. I had another sweet potato recipe, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna go with Jason's mom's sweet potato souffle.
Yeah, that's beautiful. She puts a brown sugar crumble on top of it. Makes it with
orange juice,
pecans, and sweet potatoes. Like yes. I literally so, know that she. I'm going to send you the recipe because she's going to be very excited that Chef Marcus Samuelson actually was interested.
We're going to post it on our
sweet potato souffle. Definitely.
Yeah. And then I also think the other, because it is about the sides, right? It's also about the snacks the next day, mm-hmm. right? So I do think having just some slow braised black eyed peas. Right, and just do that on Tuesday when you brine the bird on Tuesday, put the peas in the water. The next day, strain the water away, start simmering them away. You know what I mean? Make some beautiful barbecue black-eyed peas. Now you have two sides. Then you also want you also want something like because it's a lot of food, and that appetizer salad I was talking about. Bring that also down to the main course. Put that on the table and people can eat that throughout. Having a salad in between, you need something light and refreshing, right? You need it. And then for me, it's all the next day. I need to tell you about next day. Next day, my favorite meal is always day two. When you're going up and do the turkey sandwich, right? And whether you put, you know, I have a mean turkey sandwich now, which actually has some peanut butter or some almond butter. I toast my bread, almond butter, turkey, then whatever cheese we have at home, boom, yeah. and then some pickles, uh-huh. and then peanut butter again. That's the jam.
Wow, no
and I'm
mayo.
Out the door. No mayo no because dressing. The fat comes yeah, from yeah. The fat comes from the almond
the nut butter. Yeah.
That's and then crazy. The last day, we do this beautiful ramen dish out of the turkey because we have all the bones, we have all the leftover. We make this thick stock with water, miso, and turkey bones, strain that, and then we put roasted carrots mm-hmm. and just do like all the vegetables that we have left over.
Yeah.
Put your noodles in there. And that's like, that might be Saturday lunch, or it could also be Saturday dinner.
There you go. It's a three-step. It takes you all through. And a big takeaway there is I don't usually brine my birds, but I definitely should do that for just the moistness of the meat, right?
Yeah, and the moistness. Where people are struggling with the bird. I mean, deep frying a bird, if you're going to deep fry your bird fully, do it on the balcony. Do not do it inside. It's always, you need a really big pot and only fill that pot up with about a third, 40% with oil. And then you put your
bird in.
You're talking
about deep frying a whole turkey.
Yep.
Whoa.
People deep fry a turkey. But don't.
Damn.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But you can't do that inside. You have to do that outside. Yeah. If you're a smaller family also, if you're worried about the breast meat being dry, if you want the best tasting bird, I always suggest separate the legs and the thighs, right? Because they do cook on such a different time.
Yeah, because a lot of times turkeys, I'll tell you about growing up eating turkeys in the 80s in Sweden. Also, they had to go to great lengths to even get turkeys. And they were very small. Yeah. And I will say this, one of the shocks of my life was the first time I actually celebrated. I was probably in my 20s, celebrated Thanksgiving in the United States. I was shocked at how fucking big a turkey can get. Like, enormous, man. And there's a wandering legend in our family about my aunt's husband. He was Nigerian. You know, may he rest in peace. The story has it that he once ate four thighs of an American turkey in one sitting. And even my uncle, who's a big eater, was like, Jason, you don't understand. Like, four people could have dinner on one of those thighs, you know? So, yeah.
Don't go for the biggest turkey. No. You know, stay somewhere between 12 and 14 pounds. 12 pounders are great. You know, in terms of also another side that I love, mm-hmm. is obviously Brussels sprouts.
Ooh,
right?
Gotta get the and Brussels sprouts.
You cut them in half. Mm-hmm. You saute them in the pan. You add a little bit of honey and soy to them. And then in the very end, if you can get it, chop up some caramelized pecans that you know your mom mm-hmm. has. But also add in the end, and this is delicious, pomegranate seed. Mm-hmm. Just pomegranate
seed. You can add on anything. Like you could sprinkle it on your turkey, right? Like on your breakfast, on your porridge. Like I can always go for it. But I'll tell you my trick, because Marcus. Pop. Like if I may, you know, what I always do with Brussels sprouts is when I cut the root part off, I peel off a couple of the leaves. And then so when I roast them in the oven, like there's always some crispy leaves around it. I love that.
Yes. You know? That's a good part. And that's what that soy and the honey will do. That caramelizes it. That just, but anyway, we can with
my mouth is literally watering now. We haven't really I'm starting to realize, like, what you go into, like, the mode when you start talking about, like, the food, and then you throw a little bit of this in, and you take your, you know, you basically, you kind of like an MC, man. You know, it's a preach.
Cooking
you know,
is it's totally, it is. Yeah. It's totally back and forth.
Yeah, but just hearing you speaking about food is like, yeah, man.
And I would even say, on that appetizer salad, make yourself some cornbread.
Yeah,
just make yourself some cornbread. Feel home
do you
with
do,
it.
Do you know what I mean? Skillet cornbread, or do you like...
Skillet.
Yeah, always. What else is there?
You know, call me when you find another one. Skillet. Come on, man.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard. But thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Jason, you got a big award in Sweden, which I thought was, no, but I think it really matters, right? They named you Influencer of the Year. And I love that because they also, and I read it, and it was like, they were so appreciated that you took your platform, which is a big platform in Scandinavia, and you choose to fill it with information about us as people, as Swedes, throughout the pandemic, you talked about George Floyd, you talked about racism, and you lent your voice to things that matter and made it, the average Swedish person hopefully got informed in a way, in a trusted voice through you. So we're really, you know, from everybody that works in this moment and listen to us, we congratulate you, Jason. Brother. That was
Thank
great.
You. So what the prize was called the Anders Carlberg Priset for Årets Påverk. And Anders Carlberg was a guy who in the 80s he got to take over an old meatpacking building in Stockholm and built basically a school. Both a school and a culture house for young people. And this man was so dedicated and welcoming. He, in the 90s, when Sweden had a huge problem with a lot of young people falling into skinhead cultures, becoming neo-Nazis, he had an exit program. So he had the magnanimity and the humanity to see the kids beyond the bomber jackets, beyond the Dr. Sure. Martens, and say, come, you can come and hang out here and we'll talk, you know? He actively worked deprogramming neo-Nazi youth. And anyone who does that and is able to not only see the humanity and see the child behind this, behind this confusion, but to also reach that kid and to invite them in. And then, you know, there are already black and brown and white kids hanging out at Frisøset, and he's inviting the Nazis in. Like, come in and be with us, you know? That was unheard of in the 90s. So he was truly a great man. And his whole life, you know, he's passed away. He's buried just a couple of blocks from where I'm sitting right now. And so receiving a prize in his name was a huge honor and really a beautiful thing. Having said that, it's been such an odd year, and I really want to get to it, Marcus, because, you know, the pandemic happened in the spring and it's been ongoing since the spring, right? Since March. Mm-hmm. And it was bad in Sweden. You know, we had a lot of deaths. You know, Sweden actually had one of the highest case mortality rates per capita in the world. So, you know, having said that, you know, by sheer numbers, it's nothing compared to the United States, India, Russia, or Brazil, but a lot for this small population.
Sure.
What is happening now and has been going on for the past, I'd say about 10 days, 2 weeks, is that the pandemic is hitting harder than it did in the spring. So our daily infection numbers now are pretty much between twice and triple what they were on the highest day during the whole pandemic in the spring. Mm-hmm. And Sweden is getting closer. So just yesterday, the government, or just a few days ago when you're hearing this, the government went out and said, now you're not allowed to congregate in groups over 8 people.
Over 8 people.
So Sweden is getting as close to a lockdown as they've been throughout this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are scared. A lot of people are also angry. There's a lot of anger directed at the politicians. I think, unfortunately, the media is really more trying to find a scapegoat for who can we blame. Can we blame the equivalent of Fauci in Sweden? His name is Tegnell. Can we blame Tegnell? Can we blame the prime minister? Like, who can we point fingers at, rather than see the systemic failures, and how can we improve the system, and how can we help people working in healthcare or in culture or, you know, these areas that are hard hit. So, and having said all this, when the pandemic started, it was spring, Sweden was moving into the light, the sun was starting to shine longer on us, and even so, it was difficult. Now it's November. It gets dark, you know, it gets at around 2:30, the sun starts setting. It's constantly overcast. You know, November is always a tough month, spiritually, for your just spiritual health in Sweden. And especially needing the vitamin D that I need, you know, and that we need.
I'm very, very worried.
And this is also then on the back of the pandemic having raged for so long, and people are worried about their livelihoods. And you know, I had a friend call me today. He might lose his apartment. You know, if he didn't have parents, he'd be homeless. It's hardcore right now.
People are COVID fatigued, right? Mm-hmm. That's one. People also, there's all types of information. So because of, we have access to different information, people are drilling down on their information and want to confirm that they're right. A lot of my friends in the restaurant industry, obviously, are impacted.
They're really hurting over here.
Really, really hurting. Closing the restaurants at 10 and so on. I feel like Sweden's basically going through now what America went through in the middle of, I want to say in spring and the summer, right? But we're preparing for a second lockdown here as well, whether you want to call it a lockdown in America, and that's going to vary state from state, but you can call it whatever it is. It's about really flattening the curve and being responsible. I mean, in New York, for example, everyone wears masks. It's not a conversation, right? And then, you know, when I speak to my Swedish friends, not so much.
I know,
right?
Which
well,
is,
maybe you know.
This is just mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Yeah.
So
let. You know?
So this is real. We're going into a very, very, very tough time for the next 3-4 months. And yes, there are some good news that there's two major companies
being developed. Absolutely.
Sure.
And there are much more on the way. I think there are a total of 52 different vaccines being worked on. But when they reach us and when they reach the broader public, we still don't know.
Exactly.
You know?
And having said that, one thing to
tie into Thanksgiving and the enthusiasm about that upcoming, you know, joy in this moment is joy and having things to look forward to and having, you know, getting our minds off this, you know, multi-armed, multifaceted crises that we've been going through this year is so important right now.
It's absolutely figuring out your own mental health, figuring out how can you be social without being, with being social distance. How do you love on one another, right? Like these small wins. So cooking a turkey on Thursday and, you know, sharing that recipe via FaceTime or Zoom with your mom or with your cousin. Do that if that makes you feel in a better space, because it's we're being tested to our core. You know, for me also, we are preparing right now here in New York. Like this is happening right now. Like we're going into the second phase. I feel like we kind of prepared for it because we've done a lot of the work before. But just like you said, this blaming game, you can do that. But that's not going to help, right? What's going to help is actually thought through, listen to the scientists, and thought through, you know, collective solutions. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think my son's school's going to shut down again. Okay, what does that home learning look like now? That homeschooling look like? Okay, we've been through that before, so we have some experience, right? I don't know if they started to shut down school in Sweden, or what does that look
like?
They
haven't started to shut down schools yet. That I know of, main, you know, that of course the business that I'm in is standing on stage in front of a live audience is being shut down again because up until just last week we had this, you know, you could have 50 people in the audience, and since we're going into the holiday seasons and since we're on the heels of this 2020 being what it has been, you know, I myself was planning to do a couple of concerts, and these are, of course, you have 50 people in the room. They're all distanced. You know, everything has to be handled very, very correctly, right, and responsibly. But that's all gone, you know. And that's good because we shouldn't be doing it with the virus running rampant the way it is right now.
In my industry, it's I'm so afraid of small restaurants,
the mom and pop
and bars,
shops, yeah.
and coffee. It's a mom and pop that makes neighborhoods, mm-hmm. right? When you think about what is a neighborhood, it's a bunch of small collective that creates, why do you live on Söder in Stockholm? Why do I live in Harlem? It's all those mom and pops that makes your neighborhood a neighborhood.
It's the cast, what it's makes really the character, soul. Yeah.
It's the soul and the character of that neighborhood. Mm. So what I when I close my eyes, in my worst way, I just don't want to... I really pray and hope that these businesses get some type of support so they're there by spring, because otherwise, as collective, our neighborhoods will look vastly different. And again, very often, whether it's BIPOC, immigrant, or Black populations, very often the small business owner that doesn't really have equal access to institutional monies, so they will be hit harder, right? So I just hope and pray that there will be support system out there through government's program or through private programs, because we have never, probably not since the Second World War, gone through something like this as a collective. So this is really, really difficult. My industry has shifted, and I'm very, very fortunate. I have to acknowledge my privilege. I've been able to do cooking classes on Zoom, and the feedback I get, you know, look, it's obviously... everyone is in their own home, but it's been fun to do cooking classes so I can connect with an audience. We've been sending them meal package, and it really came from music. It really came from DJ Nice. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. he started to do these DJ sets. Yeah.
D Nice from yeah. Boogie Down Productions.
Yeah. yeah. And maybe that will be something that we'll keep after the pandemic. And I hope, Jason, that your industry in Sweden, you know, jumps on that and creates kind of, you know, maybe that's already been started, some type of a music performance online.
No, definitely. That people that's what can we're looking at. To. That's absolutely what we're looking yeah. at. That's our only, you know, we got to spread some joy and some light and some happiness, energy, and dance to the people. So,
well, you're getting people excited because your album, you're working on your album, and you've been, we're gonna teasing us.
Yeah. That was basically to kind of excite myself, is like, to just identify one point in the future that I actually have something to look forward to, because moving into yet another kind of lockdown like situation, you know, it's just that feeling of not having things to look forward to. Like, usually in a regular week, you look forward to, you know, Friday when I'm going to meet that friend, or, you know, in 2 weeks, I'm going to go and do that show, or, you know, all those small things put together, you really notice them when they're gone, you know, that not having all that in front of you. So I had to just put that out there. Like, I got some new music coming, and I personally am looking forward to that, you know.
Yeah, and also I think that when I get those videos, when I see you on IG like that, right, it's always dawns on me, like, how you're such a great live artist, right? And you're such, you know, like, so the energy that you bring. So I definitely know if you would do, you know, video or Zoom concert, your energy will come through. It will be fly. So I'm just putting it out there that, you know, we kind of like, we kind of want to see that.
And the best thing about that is that you could check it out in the States too. I'll just set it in a time where,
I've done cooking classes in Delhi, where my audience were from Sao Paulo and Delhi in India. And it's just like, what? And I was like so humbled by it. And it just gives you courage, right? It's awkward, Jason, to do a cooking demo when you talk to a screen. Mm. You want feedback. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was, you know, I was lucky enough to have some of my crew. It's like, you guys have to be on the other side of that because I need feedback.
Yeah.
But once you get your legs up, you know, this has been,
it's got to be done.
Part of what we bring with us. Yeah.
So, Marcus, one thing I want to speak to you about, and I know this is something that touches you very deeply and personally, and not just you, but your whole family, is what is going on in Ethiopia, the conflict that is unfolding in the Tigray region, which may develop into something full scale and something far more bloody than it already is. Tell me a little bit about how you're feeling about all that, Marcus.
Well, it's very hurtful. I love Ethiopia. I was born there, my wife, and now we still have family there. And we're in contact with Ethiopia on, you know, daily or bi-daily. You know, it's just as much as we love Sweden, we love Ethiopia. And culturally, it's such an important place. And it's layered and it's complex. But I just pray for Ethiopia right now. Mm. And I want peace, you know, because children are hurting, families are being torn apart.
People are being killed. It's, you know,
people are being killed. Yeah. Just from a humanitarian point of view, we need to resolve this peacefully, because it's just gonna, we need how to, it's just gonna escalate into extremely, extremely bloody and bad, and there's no winners. So we have to figure out how do we peacefully solve it. And Ethiopia's come so far. We have far to go, but we come so far. Mm. And you know, one of the things that I always take pride in is that there's several religions in Ethiopia that have been coexistence: Muslim, Christian, Jewish, and free religions, other religions as well. But we always kind of respect that, and it's highly layered in terms of its tribes and in terms of its languages. But we coexisted, and we have to coexist, because it's war is not the answer.
Just sending our thoughts and our love to to all our people in Ethiopia. And yeah, like you were saying, praying for peace and somehow a miraculous, peaceful solution to what's unfolding right now. And also I want to add, we should end with one of the most beautiful things about Thanksgiving, other than the coming together, other than the wonderful spread of food, is the giving thanks. Like, no matter the background, no matter the genocide and blood that is also a part of why we celebrate Thanksgiving, or not why we celebrate it, but where the roots of this tradition come from. The giving of thanks is truly a beautiful thing. Gratitude and gratefulness are such important emotions. Marcus, what are you feeling thankful about in this 2020? What thanks are you giving at that table?
Well, I'm extremely thankful for and blessed for have my family stayed healthy, and that I'm part of a community here in Harlem where we are all collectively trying to navigate through this. My neighbors, my community that I'm part of, and also the restaurant community, that we are collectively trying to figure out how to get to the next side, helping each other out. I'm thankful for our family staying healthy. I'm thankful for being part of my street, that trying to figure out for the kids and the hospitality community. And I'm also thankful for us doing this podcast, this moment, you know, because it's been an outlet that I feel both of us have needed to be able to share. It's a trusted space. We've been able to have dialogue and learn from other people and share those thoughts with an audience, that this ain't easy. 2020 is one of the hardest things that we probably gone through as a year. But to do it and have a receipt that we did something, whether it was had a dialogue about how scared and nervous we were in the beginning and still are, and to, you know, the day of the election. So all of those thoughts we have done through this moment. So I'm thankful for having a community that are very diverse, very different, and guides me when I'm going on the wrong exit. So Jason, what are you thankful for?
It's odd to say it, but there are more things to be thankful for today, this year, in this moment, than I can pretty much ever remember. I mean, just the fact that something that I normally would take for granted, right? My own health, my family's health, you know, that my daughter is healthy, is something that I'm thankful for on a much deeper level today than last year. I'm thankful that I'm still able to do what I love doing. My partner is still able to do what she loves doing. It's an extreme privilege, and really just looking at that privilege that we enjoy and again have so often taken for granted is, you know, just the source of the deepest gratitude I've felt in a long time, to be honest with you. And I'm thankful that my parents are still around. You know, my mom just turned 79. My dad's turning 80 in a couple of weeks. And I, as I mentioned before, you know what? I'm really thankful that Biden won the election. And I mean, not for all the obvious reasons, but, you know, like I just said, my parents are reaching a high age. If this was the last they saw of the country that they left in 1969, you know, another 4 years of this toxic hatefulness, you know. So I'm really thankful that that Biden won on that, for all the obvious reasons, but specifically for that very personal reason. So yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Peace.
Tons of sounds behind me. These are the sounds and noises that I'm going to miss because we're about to get shut down again. And about 12 million people that work in the restaurant industry not be able to cook for a long time. Happy Thanksgiving. It's going to be a strange one, but cook, eat, and love one another. All best from this moment.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.